Good to see everybody today. It's been certainly a full week. It's been a full winter at times, but it's good to start seeing some of our loved ones starting to feel good enough to be back and out again. Darlene's doctor has kept her in this whole winter, and so it's good that she got released early for good behavior, and so good to have her here. Great to have Juanita here. Good to have Shauna here in town. It's really nice to have each one of you. And it's really good to have Jadonna in town. And if you don't know why, because she told me she did bring the rain with her. So we're glad that worked out like that. I think Becky McCarley told me she brought the rain with her this morning. And so there's been a number who have been pretty confident about that. But wasn't it beautiful? I know we're supposed to have some heavy winds for a day or two, and I know they're going to probably rattle our houses and maybe our confidence at times, but isn't it nice to be refreshed and to be thinking about all these things that we have to enjoy with God? I want to talk about some of those things, and I'd like to pull the lesson starting from Galatians chapter 4, if you'd like to be turning over there. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 15, Paul says, "What happened to all your joy?" Have you ever wondered that? You're just kind of caught up in whatever you're caught up in. Sometimes it's very understandable. Sometimes we are going through things that are just extremely difficult to go through. Some of these once or twice in a lifetime things that will just really require everything you have just to get your breath back. And so there are times where we do not feel particularly joyous because of understandable circumstances. But again, when Paul is writing here and he asks the question, "What has happened to all your joy?" the implication is that we should have joy as Christians. And if we don't have joy, then maybe that's a symptom of something that we really need to get checked out, if you will, something that is spiritual. Because joy, as we will find, is a fruit of the Spirit. As a matter of fact, if you continue reading in Galatians and go to chapter 5, in verse 19 it says this: "The acts of the sinful nature are obvious." I'm going to stop right there and just point out, this means we're without excuse when it comes to sinful things. We live in a world that is very intellectual right now, that worships the intellect, and yet the intellect seems to be going down. and we disagree over what sin is, but it's obvious. It's kind of like when you see a bee land on your hand and your hand starts hurting. You should be able to draw the conclusion that you were just stung by a bee. And if you can't, maybe you shouldn't be walking around by yourself. I think this is what Paul is saying. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. And then he starts to give a list through inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In other words, these are the things that God has determined are sin. And remember, sin is a violation of God's rules. So you and I don't get to determine on what sin is or is not. We don't get to vote on it. We don't get to have any say in the matter. We can have an opinion, mind you. You can reject God's word or you can accept it. But Paul says the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. And then he goes into them: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. And then he wants them to understand this: "I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." And so we can reject God's determination on what sin or sin is not. But God has said from his perspective, the only one that matters is that this is sin, that this is obvious, and that if you live this way, you don't get the kingdom of God. That means there's no heaven waiting for you. We have to take this seriously because God does not want us to be there. He is so serious and intent on us being in heaven that he let Jesus die and take the place of us. He let him die for our sins. And so we need to really take the discussions on sin seriously. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 9. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and Paul says this: "Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived." I think that's one of the things we spend a good part of our life over, is deceiving ourselves. And one of the things we're deceiving ourselves on is that the wicked will inherit the kingdom of heaven. And so Paul says, "Do you not know?" Again, it's this obvious idea. "Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." This would be really depressing if we stopped right here. But then Paul points this out. He says, "And that's what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." For anybody that thinks that they are just such a good person that they have earned their way to heaven, Paul points out very clearly, this is what some of you were. Now, maybe your particular sin isn't listed in this, but all have sinned, we're told, and fall short of the glory of God. And yet, we were washed. "For those who were washed, for those who were sanctified, we were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus." We don't deserve forgiveness of sins, but we've been given that right to have forgiveness of sins. You don't have to accept his terms, but there's no forgiveness of sins for those who don't. It's just like if you're going to sell a piece of real estate and your terms are you have to pay me $90,000 cash, and somebody comes up and says, "Well, I want to buy your house, but I don't want to actually pay you money for it, but I still get your house," right? You know, they don't get to set the terms for what you have, nor do you get to set the terms for what God has. God was the one that set the terms, and he's very generous on his end of it. But he's also very serious about making sure that we do his part. Now, why is it so important for us to read through the list of sins? Well, go back to Galatians now, if you would, chapter 5. After talking about all the sins, and after talking about in verse 21, "I warn you that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God," he then goes in to say this: "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." Now there's a lot there, but since the lesson this morning is on joy, I want to focus on joy. Remember, we started off with Paul asking the church, the Galatian churches, what's happened to all your joy? You ever get to that point? You're just miserable all the time. You just kind of fall into a poor me type of a mentality, or you're mad all the time. Just everything makes you mad. "Isn't the rain beautiful?" "Yeah, but it's going to be windy today. I'm probably going to go broke." You should have seen Dave coming up as it was raining. I shouldn't mention Dave. Just forget that I mentioned Dave's name. There was a person that came here this morning, and when he arrived, or she, depending on what person that was, which I'm not going to reveal to you, they danced all the way up here. And I noticed as somebody was passing by, as that person who was dancing up was dancing, they kind of... There's joy. Why? We know the wind's still going to blow, but isn't it nice to enjoy what we have? There's a lot of bad things that are going to happen in life, and God is not discounting that at all. As a matter of fact, what God is doing is he's giving us a gift. He says the fruit of the Spirit starts off with love, but then he says joy. And so when the Apostle Paul says, what's happened to your joy? He's trying to sober them up and get them to thinking about why don't I have joy? Remember, joy is not just a giddy happiness all the time. There are going to be difficult times in your life where you're not stupidly happy. I haven't had too many of those times, I have to admit. I've been very blessed. I'm usually stupidly happy, and it doesn't take much. A Pop-Tart in the morning and a cup of coffee, and it's a great start to a great day. But the point is that there will be difficult times in life. But joy is something that's a fruit of the Spirit, and joy comes from within. And if you are expecting your joy to come from outside sources, and you're expecting joy to be some kind of an event or an occurrence that happened, the weather is good, so I'm happy today. The weather's not good, so I'm unhappy today. My closest people to me are good to me today. The closest people to me are bad to me today. My finances are good. I got money in my checkbook. I have joy today. No money, lots of bills, no joy today. If your joy is coming, or your lack of joy is coming on external events or external sources, then you really do need to reflect on whether or not you are in Christ. And this is what I believe Paul is trying to get them to think about. What has happened to all your joy? Because joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Imagine for a moment I had bought an apple tree from Levon. I use Levon's name not because Levon would do something like this to me, and I'm not saying this because I'm bitter for him getting me into the pig cutting world for 5 years. I'm not saying that at all. But we'll just say Levon for a minute sells me an apple tree, and after 5 or 10 years of taking care of that apple tree, I notice there's no apples on that tree. And so I go to Levon and I say, this isn't an apple tree. He says, sure it is. It's just a special type of an apple tree. And what you need to do is you need to go to the store and buy you some apples, whatever kind you like, and tape them to the tree. And then it will be an apple tree and you'll see it. Now, he can say that it's an apple tree, and I might believe it, but it doesn't make it an apple tree. As a matter of fact, after a while, if you've got an apple tree and it never produces apples, but it starts producing pears, you might at some point want to conclude that you don't have an apple tree. If there's no joy in your life, and this is a continual thing, you might want to examine whether or not you have the Spirit within you. Because joy is a fruit of the Spirit. And if you have the Spirit within you, you are going to have joy. You still have difficult times, but you've got God to go through those difficult times with. There will still be moments that are just very difficult to get through, but you have an eternity of joy awaiting for you, and that changes your perspective. There was an instance, we looked at it in Bible class this morning, it's found in Acts chapter 19, and Paul was traveling through, and he met a group of disciples, and they were happy people. He went through the road at the interior, it says in verse 1 of chapter 19, and he arrived at Ephesus, and he found some disciples. I guess I shouldn't say they're happy, because I really don't know. He found some disciples, and he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Now remember, there are two types of the Holy Spirit that are discussed within Scripture, and they're discussed very distinctly. There are the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit that come upon you. The miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles on the day of Pentecost. They were able to do miracles because of that. The Holy Spirit came upon the household of Cornelius. They were able to do miracles because of that. None of them the household of Cornelius had not yet been baptized into Christ. There were many who received the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit after they were baptized, but it came by the laying on of the apostles' hands. The only one that we really don't have a big discussion on how he was able to get the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit was the Apostle Paul. We just know that after Paul became obedient to the gospel, that at some point he received the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit, and there's just not a discussion on how he got them. But the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit are something that come upon people. The other way you get the Holy Spirit, and it's a distinctly different gift, is when you obey the gospel. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, right after Peter had been preaching to the people about the fact that the one they had crucified was the Lord, was the Messiah. And they said, "Brothers, what can we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." They received the gift of the Holy Spirit at baptism. This was not miraculous. It didn't allow them to do miracles. It was something far different than that. But the reason that this is important to understand that they received the gift of the Holy Spirit at baptism is this. When Paul asked them in Acts chapter 19, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, "No, we hadn't even heard there's a Holy Spirit." Then Paul asked, "What baptism did you receive? What would baptism have to do with that?" He said, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And when they said no, then he instantly knew that their baptism was not correct. And so he pointed that out. That when they said John's baptism, Paul said John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. And then after that, Paul did place his hands on them, and they received miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit as well. But he was asking them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And that was coupled with baptism, because belief caused them to be baptized. The reason that I say this is because there's a lot of people who are looking for joy who are not in Christ. And we have to understand that joy is a spiritual gift. I realize you can have happiness. I realize you can have momentary periods, sometimes longer than others, of satisfaction and contentment. But joy is a gift of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and so on. They receive the Holy Spirit at the same time they receive forgiveness of sins. And again, the reason that I think this is so important is because there are people who don't have joy in their life and they don't understand why. It's a symptom of not having Christ. We looked at a passage in Ezekiel this morning as well in class, in Ezekiel 10 and 11. God gave Ezekiel, the prophet, a vision of him leaving the temple. If you'll recall, God's presence, a part of God's presence, was found within the Ark of the Covenant. His Holy Spirit was within the Ark of the Covenant. Now, even Solomon said that the whole world couldn't contain the Spirit of God, so we know it wasn't his the sum total of God, but it was a part of him that was within the Ark of the Covenant. And when the people had sinned so badly, God's presence came up, left the temple, and even left Jerusalem. And God pointed out to Ezekiel it was because of their sins that his Spirit left them. So there are two ways that we cannot have the Spirit. Is that not true? We can, first of all, never have been placed into Christ. And so since we don't have the Spirit, we don't have the gifts of the Spirit. But you can also leave God. And if you do that, God's Spirit will not remain with you. We're told in several instances that God has placed his Holy Spirit within us. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, it says this: "You are also included in Christ when you heard the word of Christ, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession." So we see that this Holy Spirit has been given to us as a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, Paul says this: "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God?" Again, in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16, "Don't you know that you are God's temple and God's Spirit lives in you?" In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16, Paul says, "We are the temple of the Holy Spirit." The point is, if God's Spirit is within you, then you're going to have fruits of the Spirit. And one of those fruits is joy. And so if you don't have joy, what does it say? Again, there will be difficult times in your life where you just don't feel like rejoicing all the time. That's not what this is talking about. But joy is a spiritual gift. It's a gift of delight. It's a gift of gladness. It's a gift of exaltation. It's an understanding that regardless of what happens in your life, and regardless of the fact that you don't deserve it because you're in a covenant position with God, He's going to give you eternal life. And He's going to give you gifts of the Holy Spirit. And one of those gifts is joy. And so when Paul asked the question, what's happened to your joy? This was something that the Christians within this region of Galatia needed to really ask themselves. Because there's a strong chance that those who had already become Christians had departed from God and therefore couldn't have that gift of the Holy Spirit. And the other possibility is he might have been writing to some who were not yet Christians. But the reason that we bring all this up is this. Do you feel joy today? Do you have a hope of salvation today? Because you need to. God wants that for you. He's made every arrangement for you. He allowed Jesus to die for your sins. He didn't want you to be in hell. Nor does He want you to have a hell on earth. And there are so many people in this life who are living essentially a hell on earth because they are so devoid of joy because they don't have the Spirit. And they may have temporary times where they're happy. You can go out and get a bottle and have a few minutes of temporary happy, can't you? There's a penalty for it. But the Holy Spirit that wells up within you will produce fruit. And if you don't have joy, then you got to ask yourself, do I have the Holy Spirit? Just like if I don't have apples, I got to at some point admit that's probably not an apple tree out there. The invitation's open, and I really, really hope that you'll consider this. I really feel like that one of the greatest gifts that God has for us is joy. I think that Christians should go through life with a smile on their face. There's just too much to enjoy. There are hard times. We've talked about some of them this morning. Our announcements tell us that there's things people are going through. But God wants you to have joy, and He wants that joy to be eternal. The question is, won't you accept them? The invitation's open. You need to respond once you come while we stand and sing.